Bandwidth for Vagary.tv podcast provided by CashFly at CashFly.com. That's CacheFly.com.
Six.
Close. 155. Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 155. I'm Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
It's too many episodes. Tired from here. Number. Six. This is episode six. We're still fresh and new.
Start it over.
We still got that new car smell.
Oh, yeah.
That's just because we bought the little tree that says new car smell. Mm-hmm.
If I buy one of those things, I get the one that says new car smell because I love that fucking smell.
And Jeff is here as well.
Yellow.
Probably going to be a short episode this week. It's dead. Gaming is dead right now. I mean, like, there's no new releases coming out, and... I mean, I guess we could, you know, talk about the awesome Games for Gold, Games with Gold release that came out, you know, the 4-year-old tower defense title. Defense Grid, that's what it's called. I was drawing a blank on what it's called.
People were happy about that, too. They were like, yes, Defense Grid. Yes. I wanted this so much more than I wanted Assassin's Creed 2.
Or Halo 3. Like, I mean, it's like, I get it. You probably already played those games, and I honestly don't know if I ever played Defense Grid.
I didn't, so I may play it. Probably not, though.
Right. It's like there's just... That seems like a waste of my time. Especially since I have to work through The Last of Us.
I feel like yeah. That's how it is with a lot of these free titles. So even on, PlayStation Plus... So many of these titles, like, I have them already. I play these games.
Yeah, that's where my problem with... But with, I mean, I was already paying for gold, so whatever, it's a bonus.
Right.
But, like, PlayStation Plus, like, that's the big thing, is, like, you know, you get this instant games library, but I already have most of those games. I do get some use out of it on the Vita. I'll say that.
And what is it? Oddworld? Is it...
Yeah, sometimes.
Stranger's Wrath, or is it Much as Odyssey? I can't remember which one, but one of them.
The HD remake, right?
Yes.
Wait, that's free on Games for Gold?
Mm-mm. No, PlayStation Plus. I might be able to be talked into playing that.
I don't know. I never really played them.
I heard they were good. I remember playing the original... on the PlayStation, but I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I remember playing Stranger's Wrath. You had a gun and your ammo was like little animals.
Yeah, it was like a first person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that was good too.
It's a lot of fun.
But Battlefield, right? That's coming.
Battlefield 3. Which of course I have, but I have it on 360.
Yeah, well, so we can finally play with Don.
That's right. Bring in Don. Jeff's going to download it, aren't you, Def?
Walking Dead? Yes.
The only... I'll thrash you.
Bulletstorm? I have that to play.
You should delete that and download.
I got on disc.
I like Bulletstorm.
Yeah, I'm excited to check it out.
How much did you pay for it on disc?
$5.
Well, that's not bad, because that's what they're charging for it on... The ultimate game sale right now, so.
Oh, dude, Alice is gonna be $4. Oh my god. That was the only game that stuck out to me. And I was like, I am buying that immediately.
that's a good price for that, so.
For sure.
Lego Lord of the Rings is only 15, although I have to say, wait till the fall and get it on disc for 10.
It'd probably be around the same price as that, so if you got the hard drive space, I'd do it. Or just download something better. Just saying.
There's nothing better than Lord of the Rings.
I like Lego Lord of the Rings. It was fun.
I'd rather play War in the North.
Ugh.
It's not that bad. Come on.
That game is vomit. It's disgusting.
Basic hack and slash.
Basic, error-ridden, bug-addled hack and slash.
Anyway. Tony's been playing Total War Shogun 2.
Yes.
So Jeff's going to fall asleep now.
In preparation to amp myself for Total War Rome 2 coming out this fall. Really, really nice medieval Japanese flavor. Commanding armies in the field, using samurais to assassinate people. If you ever played a Total War title, Shogun was the first one, and it was badly in need of an update, and this game is so good. Lessons from every Total War title all put into this game. It's by far the best Total War game. I think the most interesting thing for me personally is the naval battles. They added naval battles in, I believe, Empire Total War.
Yeah.
But they were really buggy and annoying. Like, sometimes your ships would disappear in the field. It just got annoying. But Shogun, like, perfected them. It's really cool to guide your ships in with the, your ships have archers on them, and then they have, like, fighting troops. So you have, like, this battle with the archers shooting at each other as the ships close in, and then the ships crash together, and, like, your men throw, like, hooks onto the other ship, and then they jump on down the ropes to board it and take the enemy ship captured. It's really cool to watch. It's really a pretty game. I like to save the replays and watch them over again, just so you can actually get that sense of how attractive it is and how nice the battles look. Really fun game. It's a few years old now, and it's really cheap, so I think if you were looking at Rome but can't afford it, Shogun Total War is definitely a way to go. Plus, it has two awesome expansions, which are also really cheap now.
I have Total War Shogun 2.
You should play it. Have you played the other Total War games?
I played the original Shogun when it came out.
Right. That was the first game I ever pirated.
It was a damn resource hog at the time. Like, that game was tough on your computer, but I didn't play Rome or Medieval Total War. I played Empire and Napoleon.
Yeah, Empire is the only one I haven't played. But yeah, pirating success story. So I pirated the original Shogun, and since then I bought every single one of them.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I have Medieval Total War. I believe I have Rome, too. I bought the pack at one point.
Right.
On Steam.
You probably have Medieval 2.
Yes.
The first Medieval was kind of cool because they had a Viking expansion where you could, like, invade England with Vikings. The second one had a bunch of expansions, though, like four of them. Like, there was, like, a Japan one and a Medieval Germany one and a...
Is that Kingdoms?
Yeah. So there were, like... I have it on my desktop. I might try to play my memory. So, yeah, they had British... So the second one has British Isles, so it has the Viking part. Crusades, the Teutonic, which is Medieval Germany... And then a New World one.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
Basically, you can fight in the Middle Ages wherever you want.
That's kind of cool.
Right, Jeff?
What?
Jeff's afraid of Total War.
Jeff doesn't, he can't play it, so.
I have my own version of Total War. It's called Pikmin.
Yeah, they're exactly the same.
Pretty much.
You know, on one of these sales, Jeff, you ought to pick up XCOM.
Like, he could get it for free, isn't it? It's all on PlayStation Plus.
No, is it?
Yeah.
Damn it, go download that.
If it was free on PlayStation Plus, for sure, I would play it.
I'm pretty sure that it's there.
I've been meaning to just, like, check it out, like, try it, but I've just been backlogged.
I think you'd like it, even, like, I know you're not a strategy fan, but I think you'd like it. It's pretty cool.
No, I mean, everybody says it's awesome, so, like, I definitely would give it a chance.
Because for as... I don't know if hard's the right word, but, I mean, it's just so... It eases you into playing the game. And the tutorial actually teaches you how to play. And at that point, then you just slowly learn, you know, how to go about handling encounters and line of sight. And it's all pretty cool. I kind of wish the base building shit wasn't there, but... like, the combat stuff is awesome.
Yeah. The survival horror aspect is nice, too.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. So, Tony's been playing that. Jeff and I have been playing more of The Last of Us. Jeff has something he wants to talk about. I'm just going to leave it be, as I've made more progress. I'm still not enjoying playing the game, but...
Yeah. I beat it. I will say, like, non-spoilery things I could say. From winter on, the story is amazing. The ending is amazing. Like, the very last, like, cutscene of the game. Not so much the last level. Because I guess that's the only other non-spoilery thing I could say is the last level was so fucking hard. Like, such hardcore stealth that I had to switch to easy. So, I'm talking...
That's been one of the problems with Naughty Dog games in general. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not the overwhelming difficulty, but I don't know if you, like, I'm sure Tony's played all three of the Uncharted games.
Yeah.
Like, Uncharted 1, like, the ending just, like, that final boss fight was stupid. It was like a corridor run, and then you go up and punch a dude in the face. And then the second one, which is more what I'm, like, what I'm kind of seeing what you're saying with The Last of Us is, there's this atrocious boss fight at the end of Uncharted 2, and the ending is just perfect. Like, it's just a great, great ending to a very, like, decent story. And that's kind of what I'm hearing from you right now, is that, like, they just awful kind of situational gameplay at the end, but...
Yeah.
But really well-done characters and story to close it out.
Pretty much, yeah. And, like, dude, just... If you think it's intense now, like, from winter on, oh, my God, the story is just... You're so, like, on the edge of your seat, just like, oh, man, what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now? And, like, the ending is just, to me, I think a really... I think Justin called it bold, and I'm like, I don't know if bold, but, like, I don't know. We can't discuss it until after, but, like, God, I loved it. That ending is, in my opinion, perfect.
I'm working my way through it. It's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm just, I like Ellie. I like Joel as characters,
yes.
But everybody else they put in there, like, I could give half a shit about. Like, I was introduced to this guy, Henry, and his brother, and there's this, like, emotional moment going on, right before, you know, they continue on in the story. And Henry's had to do something pretty traumatic. And as he's kind of, like, dealing with this situation, I ate a chip. I didn't care.
I kind of like their characters, but, like...
It was a really good chip.
Yeah. I dipped it in some queso and...
Yeah, I like their characters, but you're not with them for too long. But, like, God, by the end, I love Joel and Ellie so much. Like, Ellie is probably one of my favorite characters I've ever had. Like, I like this story. This, I'm serious. This is the best video game story I've ever fucking, like, this is better than Walking Dead, better than L.A. Noire. I fucking loved it.
Is it the story, or is it the characterizations and their interactions together? Like,
I will say this, like, it goes, it's not plot-centered near the end, it's about the characters, so.
Because, I mean, well, I don't think it's plot-centered even right now, it's just, like, I get to this point where it's like I'm playing to get to the next cutscene.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's like, it's like I'm slogging through this, like, because that's the really good stuff, and it's like I'm slogging through this mediocre to in my opinion, bad gameplay at points to, like, get to these really cool character moments and seeing how that stuff progresses.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way, but I think that people who are more into stealth will really enjoy it. Like, I talked to a lot of people who, like, are into stealth games. They're like, dude, you're nuts. This game is awesome, like, all around, you know?
But that's the thing, like, I mean, I'm not. I've been very vocal about not being into stealth. But it's broken. Like, I just feel that it's broken in spots where, like, and I've been told, oh, you're not playing it right, you're not playing on hard. Like, fuck yourself. Like,
it's hard enough.
Right. Like, and, alright, yeah, I get it. There's way more, like, I have, at this point, I'm pretty stocked up on ammo almost all the time, and all my supplies are maxed out at threes. So it's, like, I'm not, like, burning through stuff or really having to worry about getting new supplies at any point, because if I use a health pack, I have enough, you know, alcohol and rags to make a new one right away, and then I find enough, you know, scavenging through. But I don't know, like, it's just aspects of it are so fucked up.
Well, like stealth is always kind of wonky to begin with. It's hard to make it, like, perfect, you know? And right. But my big issue, like, I don't enjoy stealth, but even more of an issue than that is the shooting. Like, dude.
Oh, anytime combat comes up, it's like, oh.
Dude. If I sneak up on a dude and I shotgun blast him,
yes,
three times,
exactly.
Dude, I understand he's wearing armor, but I shotgun blast him three times. His hat, he's still alive, and then I got to run away.
His hat falls off. It's like, yeah. Oh, now I can get him.
It's like, dude, I literally had that happen last night. Where, like, dude, I walked up right close to this guy. He saw me, so I was like, fuck, I got my shotgun. I hit him once. I hit him twice. And, like, and each time I hit him, it registered. And then he just, like, ran away. And I'm like, and I had to run away because I had to go switch guns, you know? I'm like, God damn this, dude. Like, you should never shotgun blast someone and they don't fucking die. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, no.
If I'm 3 feet away from you. Yeah, but, I mean, regardless, I'm so happy I stuck with the game. I think you'll be happy, too. Like, you'll be happy with the story, for sure.
Yeah, it's, like, I'm really, like, not enjoying going through, like playing the game. Like, there's one point, you're in Pittsburgh, slight spoiler here, you're coming out of this hotel, and you basically come across it's a kill box. Like, that's what the game is. There's, like, kill boxes, and then exploring, and more kill boxes, and more exploring, and then a cutscene. So you come across this kill box, and it's pretty evident. Like, I believe you even tell Ellie that you need to kill everybody before you can go on. So it's, you know, you have to kill everybody. So you start doing it, you try and do it quietly, which is fine. I always fuck that up.
Yeah.
So I ended up hiding in, like, a second-story office building. And there's only one way in or out of this office building is to come around. You go up the fire escape on the side, and you have to come around and then climb into the window. So Ellie is covering me with a sniper rifle from across the way, and these enemies are climbing up the stairs and jumping over into the window where Ellie shoots them once and then I shoot them a second time. And at the end of this encounter, I had a stack of 10 bodies. just lying, and it's like, this is stupid.
How did you like the sniper sequence when you had to, like, get, like, down to the end of that block, like, that suburban street?
It was a little bit of, like...
It was hard.
I died once during that.
Many times.
But I also knew what, like, I had heard your problems with it, so, like, I kind of...
Cheated.
Well, yeah, like, I knew what to expect, so I kind of, like, made my way through, and, like, that's it. Like, I find myself gaming the game to, basically manipulate, like, the enemies to come to me so that I can kill them all in a giant pile. And it's like, it's this super serious, like, story, and then the gameplay happens, and it's like there's just a pile of dead bodies. And then that sniper sequence. So after that, you're up in the tower, and you're covering Ellie and Henry and his brother as they make their way towards.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, the shooting's not great, but it's one of those things where if you hit them once, they go down.
Mm.
So it's like, it's a little bit forgiving. So, like, you can miss a little bit and still take them down. But then this truck comes through.
The fucking Humvee, dude. I was so happy to take that fucking thing out. I forgot how it got taken out, though. There's the guy
inside, and he's tossing Molotov cocktails.
So you shoot him, and it lights the whole thing on fire, and it goes crashing into a house.
You shoot him, and he drops it. But the first time I did that sequence, he wasn't coming out. Like, the Molotovs were being tossed at Ellie and Henry and the little kid, but he wasn't coming out. You just saw a floating Molotov being thrown at them. It's like, so I failed because he wasn't, like, you need him to come out so you can shoot him, and...
Yeah, he did that once to me, so I could back you up on that, but then, like, after a couple times he started actually popping out,
I was like,
that's how I get him. Because I was shooting the windshield, and I was like, this is not going to work, it's probably bulletproof, you know, glass.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, dude, you're going to be, I'm telling you, the story gets even so much better that, like, the fact that the gameplay continues to get more difficult and sucky, like, you'll still be like, dude, I got to play through this.
I may at some point, like, if I just start getting super frustrated with it, just drop it to easy and power through it, but... Because I'm kind of done with playing it at this point. But I am interested enough to see where Ellie and Joel, where their story goes, so...
Gee, it's pretty cool.
And I have no interest in playing that multiplayer at all. That just seems like such a stupid... idea. I know some people are enjoying it or whatever, but it just seems like such a waste to add that in. So outside of that, I played a little more Animal Crossing. I guess we should give the update. I have a nightclub coming to my town. It's not open yet, but I did the petition thing and signed all that shit up and what else? So one of the guys asked me to bury something for him, but I think I fucked that up and opened it instead. And now I don't know what to do with it, because I can't sell it, and I can't bury it. It's just there.
You could maybe buy wrapping paper and try to put it in the wrapping paper.
Make it a present.
Yeah, make it a present. Like, was it a present, like, at first?
But yeah, it was like a letter to his future self saying, here's some clothes, like, it's like now it's just kind of stuck in my inventory, and it won't let me sell it at the store, so it's so dumb. I'm thinking of maybe just throw it on the ground. I also found out that, don't plant trees near, cliffs or walls, cause they won't grow, so I wasted a whole trip to the island to get new plants.
Oh, it's never a waste because you get to listen to Captain sing.
Yes, but I went there with the purpose of coming back with new fruits, and so all my lemons are will not grow. That sucks.
I will say this: I've missed out on events the last couple of days. I haven't gotten to play it. I've been a bad boy. I've been a bad Animal Crosser. I don't know.
Were there events? I didn't notice if there were events.
I don't know if there has been anything going on or not. I've missed out, so. You haven't seen anything?
No. I mean, I don't check that board all the time either, though. I did hear it's going to stop raining in my town.
Really?
It's going to be sunny soon. I got a weather report. I don't know. It's fucking dumb. I don't understand why I'm still playing it. Like,
it's crazy.
Like it's fucking work. Like it's
like little tasks. Yeah.
I'm sitting here describing it. And it's like I don't understand why I go back to it every day because it's just me doing chores, and I don't want to do chores around my house. Why do I want to do them in a video game?
Listening to you two talk about this game makes me want to play it less and less every time.
It's but so like, dumb.
But here's the thing: you gotta go back because you gotta go shake some trees, like see me. Oh, what furniture fall? Like I don't know about you, when I shake a tree and the leaf falls out, I'm like, oh yeah, dude. Or did you even know about that?
No, I haven't shook any trees. They
every day two or three trees have furniture or, you know, some sort of leaf item in it, you know, like furniture, shirt, something. And that's the thing about that game is, like, you have to play it every day because you're like, man, what, you never know what you'll get. Sometimes you get something that you think is really cool.
So are those the trees that don't have fruit on them?
No, not necessarily. Like,
I am slowly cutting down every fucking tree that does not produce, if it doesn't produce money for me, it's fucking gone from my town.
Alright, the trees that produce fruit, they, like, on the days they don't have fruit, will sometimes have furniture.
So once I clear up all my non-fruit producing trees, and after I harvest some shit on some of them, go over and shake the tree and see if there's something on it.
Like on their off day, like when they don't have the fruit there, go check them out. I wouldn't kill all the non-fruit bearing trees.
They get in my way.
But yeah, I have no like personal updates on that game, and I don't know what's going on because I missed out a little bit these last couple of days. But I'll be back to it soon.
Yeah. So where the hell do I get artwork at?
This guy will open up a shop by the town square, which is like where that tree is.
Okay. Yeah. He opened up a tent or something, and I went in, but now he's not there anymore.
Yeah, like, you just gotta wait for him to show up. He's like a traveling, you know, salesman type thing.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I had to buy the artwork to put in the museum. This is so fucking stupid.
Or you can put it in your house. Like, I bought one I put in my house. That, I can't tell what it is, though.
That's what I thought it was for. Like, I thought, like, oh, I'll buy this and put it in my house. I'm like, at that point, I had a really small house, and I didn't have a whole lot of room. Now, like, my house is just a junk house anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Metroid in the corner, I have a Star Fox, like the ship in the corner, and then I have a bunch of like Mario paraphernalia, like the fire, you know, the twirly fire thing, and I have Mario blocks, and
I have an asteroid which I like because it just floats, it just sits there in the air and floats.
It's an arcade game that I can't play.
See, that's one thing that sucks is like. My opinion on this game is it would be so much cooler if they would add shit like that. Like, oh, I got a pinball table, right? And you go up to the pinball table and you can play pinball. Or, like in the first one, they would give you NES games and you drop them in your house and, like, a full-on NES would be sitting there and you could go up to it and play it.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But they should just add more, like, just little fun little mini-games, like, you know, in there. That don't involve, like, all the minigames that are in this, like, involve the stuff that you do anyways, like, go catch, you know, bugs, or...
Right.
And those are, like, confined, like, to certain days, or, like, if you go to the island, or whatever. But, yeah, anyways, it's still amazing. We'll have more Animal Crossing next week to torture Tony.
No!
It's like a... the Chris and Jeff chore minute. What chores did you accomplish today? Yeah, so, I mean, that's it, really. There's nothing else going on in terms of what we've been playing. So, because of that, Tony suggested we maybe talk about our most anticipated titles for the rest of the year. I don't know how long your lists are. I have
40 titles on my list.
Okay, so we're going to let Tony go first.
That's a lot. I have 10.
Okay. I'm sure I could, you know, match some of that. I'm sure some of what you have on your list are probably on mine as well, too. So why don't you kick it off, because you have the more defined list.
All right. I'll start off with number 10, Call of Duty Ghosts. The Call of Duty series is probably not at the top of everyone's list because there's been so many games now. I am really interested to see what it looks like on a next-gen console. I think that's it more than anything. Plus the dog. Everyone loves the dog. But
Call of Duty dog, yep. You getting that for your Xbox One?
Probably.
I may have to do that. I'm in the same boat as you. It's like, and here's the thing, I buy them every year, but I get less and less play out of it each time.
Every time, yeah.
Like, so it's like, and it's not that they're bad games. I still think they're really well done. It's just that, like, that hook isn't there for me. I don't need to chase, like, levels, and I don't care enough about the game that, like, I want to sit down and prestige all the time or whatever.
Right.
So.
Well, I prestiged the first one, and then I was, like, 15 levels off in the second one, and the third one I'm, like, 30 levels off. And this last one I played maybe 6 or 7 hours of the multiplayer and stopped.
That's about where I got.
That's why I don't buy them anymore.
I wonder if I could, like, maybe rent it from Gamefly now that all that shit's back on the table, so.
Well, you also have, there's also the chance that, you know, for the next-gen console that they've done something to it to make it more interesting. Like,
yeah.
There's a twist, a hook somewhere in there, but, yeah, probably not.
It's going to be the same game across the board, because you got the current-gen version as well, launching probably within a week or two of it, you know? So it's going to be, like, it'll have better, you know, it'll be prettier.
I'm also pretty. You're pretty, Jeff.
Thank you.
Jeff, what's on your list?
I'll start with, like, a more boring one. Diablo 3. I'm excited to play that on console because I don't play on PC. Dungeon crawling. What up?
I'm a little upset that they're launching that at full retail price, though.
I'm not care.
It is a little crazy.
I mean, I would gladly take it at, like, $40, but, like, dude, I know me and Dungeon Crawlers, like, it's not hard to get right, and I'm pretty sure Diablo is, like, one of the premier ones. So, I'm in. I'm happy.
I don't know. I could have played that game at any time since it launched the last time, and I still haven't touched it.
How dare you?
Yeah, I gave you one of those codes, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. And yep, haven't gotten into it yet.
Oh well. I guess I'll go more chronologically. In August, I am looking forward to Saints Row 4 or whatever the fuck it's called, Saints Row the Fourth, or I think it is just Saints Row 4, right?
It's work for you.
I don't know why I'm interested in this, because I wasn't a huge fan of Saints Row 2, which I just finished. I haven't played Saints Row 3, but I saw Saints Row 4 at PAX East this year, and that game looks batshit crazy.
It's just absurd enough.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, you have superpowers, there's aliens. There are crazy guns that make people dance. It's nuts. And I know Saints Row 3 was also crazy, but this looks like it really gets it. And I'm slightly disappointed that you play as the president of the United States, and you're also a gang leader, but you play as the president of the United States, and like, I was kind of hoping that you would be able to have Air Force One. And I asked them about this when I saw it at PAX East. And the guy from, drawing a blank on who makes that game right now. It's being published by Deep Silver, but anyway, those guys, the one guy from there, he kind of was like, no, you know, Air Force One's not in the game, but we had this great idea for it where, yeah, you could fly it like, you know, like an airplane, but it would also transform into a giant mech. but they couldn't get it to work in the time that they needed, so they yanked that out. But that's the kind of crazy batshit stuff that I want to see out of that. So as long as I don't have to up my rep points to do missions, because I hated that about Saints Row 1 and 2.
Is it in 3? I don't even know.
I haven't played 3 yet. Billy and Boots both said that it's minimal. In that game. So, what's next on your list?
Rise.
Blah.
Xbox One launch title. Why is that blech?
I don't know. It could be fun. I don't, dude. It was Kinect title to begin with. It's like there's all sorts of bad signs there.
There are a ton of red flags with this title. I'm not gonna lie, because it was originally a Kinect title, and then they were gonna launch it for 360, and then they decided to move it to Xbox One as a launch title. Like, it's been bounced around a lot, and that demo, I mean, it showed off some cool stuff, but it also looked really, really heavy on the QuickTime events. And
yeah, well, the demo that they showed was more of a, it seems like it really wasn't even a legitimate vertical slice of the game. It was more, hey, this is the shit we can do with it. And it wasn't, it didn't seem to go through all the way and, like, actually run you through it. Evidently, that QuickTime stuff is all just finishing moves.
Right.
The combat, from what I hear, is very much like Batman, Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, which I like that type of combat, so.
Yeah, I do too. I also like the setting. Rome is a great place to have a game, and there have been too many Roman games.
When in Rome.
Right.
And the idea that you are controlling this guy who's in charge of this, like, Roman battalion, and you can actually give orders to your troops, that's actually still part of the Kinect stuff, like.
Yeah, Kinect.
Like, you'll be able to point and, like,
but
I mean, like, if it works properly where it's like, I need you guys to get over there and cover that area, like, and they actually fucking do it.
Right.
That could be pretty cool. Like, while you're still in combat, you know, doing the normal, like, you know, the you know, hand-to-hand melee combat, but you can also give orders, like, that could be a interesting approach to the way that stuff's done.
It could be fun. But was that on your list too, Chris?
Rise is definitely something I'm looking forward to.
So you're buying it too. Yeah. I won't be, because I won't be getting the system, at least not right away. Same thing with PS4. So unless you guys want to give me money,
I will give you $12.
Christmas present for Hefe.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Or our listeners could just contribute. Like, just give me $10 a week, and there you go. Kickstart.
Now I
already have $400 put away for this thing.
Nice.
You saw the demo, right, Tony, that they showed?
Of Rise?
Yeah, Rise.
Yeah.
I heard it looks really great in person. Like, what we saw just was not, you know, up to what it actually is when you get your hands on it. Like, visually, I heard multiple people say that it is one of the more impressive visual games for next gen. So that's kind of promising, I think. It's also a Crytek game, so
right.
We know that they know how to do pretty.
Right. They also know how to have sucky AI, so.
Yeah, so. But I hopefully with the, you know, more resources this time around, they get it to work.
Sure.
The hope, right?
I'm not going to hold my breath, but you never know.
No, I mean, I don't want you to die or pass out. Jeff, what's next on yours?
I don't have an order, but I'll just throw out, Legend of Zelda Wind Waker for Wii U. It's a remake. It's kind of ridiculous how excited I am for it, because I have it. Like, I have the GameCube one. But, dude, that's, like, one of the best Zeldas, and, like, they're going to touch it up in little ways. New graphics and faster sailing and stuff like that, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm want it. Looking forward to that one quite a bit.
You played Wind Waker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, dude.
It's, actually, I believe, possibly the only 3D Zelda I really like, so. I never played Majora's Mask, though, so I don't know.
Oh, Majora's Mask is, I think, I want to say it's like my second favorite Zelda after Links to the Past. Majora's Mask is amazing.
I guess we'll stick with Nintendo. I'm really kind of looking forward to Super Mario 3D Land. Or 3D World, I guess, is what it's being called now. But, I mean, come on, a brand new 3D Mario game?
It looks good.
Yeah.
It's not what I wanted, but it looks good.
But what did you want?
I wanted basically Mario Galaxy, like, complete zaniness where you could just, like, be walking on ceilings and this and that, but, like, a more open-world type approach, like Mario 64 or Sunshine.
Ah.
Where you have, like, a hub world, and you go into different, like, little levels, and there's different... Like, I think that design works really good for 3D platformers. And, you know, they got away with it a little bit with Galaxy, whereas it was just more, like, just pick a level, go do it, and it's going to be really creative and fun.
Yeah,
something in between those two, you know.
I kind of just like the idea of just going, hey, here's this level, go.
Yeah.
But I could see, you know, enjoying the other side as well.
I would like something closer to that, or, you know, or to Galaxy than like I guess the 3DS one kind of is kind of like a mix between those, I guess. So I don't know what I'm bitching about.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like people like going, oh, it's not what I wanted, but like. The hell do you want to, like, it's...
Well,
it's
what I wanted
Mario,
is...
It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be great, I'm sure, but, like, what I wanted is fucking Metroid or Zelda, that's what I wanted, but, yeah.
Right, but that's not what you got, like, I mean, like, it's not the Mario game I wanted, but you don't want that to begin with, like...
Yeah. No, but, like, dude, I probably would have been more excited for Galaxy 3 if it was just straight Galaxy 3, you know? Cause like this is gonna be all multiplayer focused. Like you could tell. Like once again, like they got this hard on for multiplayer. But hey, guess what? No online multiplayer. So it means I'm never gonna use like.
Right, but I mean, like one of the big draws of New Super Mario Brothers, you know, the original on the Wii, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and New Super Mario Brothers U, is that multiplayer thing. But I think those games are fantastic single player. Like
They're better single player.
I think they're better. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm totally with you on that. I think they're completely better games single player than they are multiplayer. And I have a feeling that this game will, like, some people are going to be like, oh, I love playing the multiplayer. It's so great. Add such a dynamic to it. But that's not how I want to play this game. I want to play it by myself. And I have a feeling
right.
that it'll be quite good.
It'll be just fine, yeah.
Yeah. Tony?
Oh, Lord, what's next? Oh, NBA 2K14.
Produced by Jay-Z this time?
They haven't said anything on that front. They did announce today that they're adding EuroLeague teams to the game.
Awesome.
This changes everything.
Doesn't?
I don't know. Last year was kind of a letdown, so I'm hoping that they get their group back. Plus, they have competition now, so they got to step it up a notch. So I'll just fold in NBA Live with that also, because NBA Live is launching this year again, supposedly.
You plan on getting that for Xbox One? So that's where
right.
that game is going to look best, right? Like,
well, that's the only place it is. It's okay. It's only a next gen game. It's not going to be on 360 or PS3. So,
right.
Yes, competition is good for basketball. I think they'll have to make better games. Stop
putting it in. And that's one that I don't think will suffer from, you know, launching when the game when the systems launch, like Madden coming out on Xbox One and PS4, like, who's going to buy that version of it?
Right. This will be like 3 weeks later or something like that. It won't
right.
be that far off.
Like, I mean, Madden is going to launch on 360 and PS3, what, in August? Like it always does? Maybe end of July?
Yeah, probably. I think they're targeting mid-August again.
Yeah. So in the middle of preseason, you know, when people are pumped for football, not that they're
right.
not pumped for football in November, but if you're going to play along a season, you're not going to want to start in November.
Right.
Or October, whenever the fuck it's, shit's coming out.
You're not going to wait, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's see. What else? I think we've mentioned it multiple times on here. I'm not a fan of the original Dead Rising games. Actually, I never played 2, but I wasn't, like, a huge fan of the original Dead Rising. Mostly because, like, the weird save bug and all that. Like, it wasn't even a bug. It was just weird save system. It's the way that game worked was fucked. It was, you know, it was cool being able to mow down zombies and basically play a Dawn of the Dead as a game, but as far as, you know, the way that story worked and the way you had to save, I was not a fan of it. I am pretty excited for Dead Rising 3, though. That game looks amazing. It's probably going to run like crap. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but yeah, it's one of the four games that Microsoft is kind of promoting as one of their day one games, so.
You should borrow me your Xbox One and let me play it.
Yeah, I'll just pack it up right after.
Yeah, ship it.
Send
like,
it out to
actually,
you. So
your
play.
Xbox One setup. Unplug it, okay. Ship it to me, send me that game. I swear I'll give it back.
I heard a lot of people, you know, kind of bemoaning that it doesn't seem to have the zaniness.
Yeah.
But evidently all that shit is in there. Like, you can wear a panda suit if you want. All the crafting is there. Like, the insanity of that series is still intact. What they showed was, you know, they were just kind of trying to show, hey, look at, we can put a bajillion zombies on screen at once.
Yeah, and you could fucking, like, shoot off, like, I forgot what he shot off, like, it was, like, a flare or something?
Yeah.
To, like, distract it, like, just, I don't know, yeah, like, I don't know, I didn't get it, like, it did, like, have a serious tone to the trailer, but, like, dude, it's Dead Rising, I have a feeling it's gonna be, like you said.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. I love those games, so, like, I'm really kind of sad I won't get to play it right away.
I think we just went out of order. I think I went out of order.
How dare you?
Jeff, what's next on your list?
You ruined this.
Let's go back to platforming for a second. I, more than Mario, honestly, I'm pretty excited for Sonic Lost World for Wii U. That looks really good. It looks like a Galaxy ripoff. You seen it?
I have. You don't hold your breath on that being great, though.
Dude, Sonic Generations was quite good.
It was.
Like, dude, like, I played through that game twice, and I see no problem with that game at all, except that it's short. Like, I would have liked a dozen more levels. But
wasn't most of that 2D Sonic?
No, it was like every level had, like,
it was,
like,
split, right? It was 2D and then 3D versions.
It's like, you know how, like, I don't know, in the original Sonics, there would be, like, two levels and then a boss? Well, like,
right.
They'll do that, like, so, like, I don't know, Emerald Hill Zone, right? There's one that's 2D and then one that's 3D, and they were fucking both actually good. Like, I liked the 3D stuff just fine.
Now, is this by that same team?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going in with hope, Chris. I don't care, dude. Sonic, I mean, honestly, even when it's bad, well, like, alright, like, Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, that was awful. But, like, Even some of the bad ones, I could, like, Sonic Heroes, I thought it was fun. Like, I just like going really fast in a platforming environment, and it's all bright and colorful and whatever, dude. I enjoyed, like, a lot of Sonic Unleashed. So.
I'll probably play it at some point, so. Tony?
Alright. Little different vein, because I'm actually kind of excited for Battlefield 4, as opposed to...
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, but... Again, next gen, I gotta see it. I gotta take a look. and some of the stuff they showed at E3 looked really outstanding, so.
The added destructibility is back. It's gonna be so much fun.
Yes. Yes. That was the most disappointing thing about 3 for me, was that you had those massive multiplayer environments and almost nothing was destructible.
Right.
So.
And coming off of Bad Company 2 where everything was destructible.
Absolutely everything. That was really disappointing, but bring it back, we'll destroy everything, and it'll look beautiful at the same time. I'm all for it.
I really just wish they'd stop with the single player crap.
Yeah, I don't think we need it. Like, I was supremely disappointed, when the first trailer I saw for Battlefield 4 was a single-player trailer. Like, that was how they launched the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you want your first image to be, but that's not why people play this game. Like, do they understand their audience? That's the question I ask.
But that's the big thing, is, like, Battlefield, its lineage is a multiplayer game. Like, it originated as a multiplayer-only game.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Call of Duty, you can, you know... It is kind of moved definitely in that direction, but its original lineage was, you know, single player.
Yeah.
And I still think, like, I still enjoy kind of playing the Call of Duty. Like, it's a roller coaster ride, but I enjoy playing the Call of Duty campaign.
It's like the only part I enjoy. Anyway.
Right. But Battlefield 3's campaign was so bad. I guess, you know, sticking with shooters, I'm kind of excited about Killzone Shadowfall, I believe that's what it's called, the PS4 launch title. I enjoyed Killzone 2, and I thought Killzone 3 was pretty. I'm hoping this kind of, you know, touches up the controls a bit. And continues to do fun things with the multiplayer. And the Killzone 2 and 3 both did some really cool things with multiplayer that I still haven't seen kind of drawn into the more mainstream shooters. So, and it's one of the two PS4 launch titles I'm going to pick up. So.
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff? What's next?
I'm gonna drag us away from shooters once again. Let me throw two out there that I won't get right away. Like, so I can't say like they're my most anticipated, but I'm interested to see how they are. One is Castlevania: Lords of Shadow 2, and the other is Batman on the Vita. I think it's called Arkham Origins: Blackgate.
Yes.
That game to me interests me way more than the fucking 3D one. Like,
right?
Like, I read an article on it, and I looked at some pics, and I'm like, dude, this looks like Shadow Complex or something. And it's former Retro employees making it, so I'm like, oh my god, it's gonna be good. Like, that, I actually mic it, baby, right away. I was thinking about doing a 3DS, but I was like, I don't use my Vita at all, and it's a bigger screen.
Yeah, yeah. You want to play that game on the Vita, because it's gonna look so much better.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna do that. And then just Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, like, I played a little of the first one this year, and I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. Like, once I got into it. And then that same studio made the 3DS one, which I love. Like, that's like one of my favorite 3DS games. So, that'll be one, like, I'll get once it, like, hits a sale or something. You know, I don't know if I'll get it before the end of the year.
Right.
But. Yeah, I just figured those two are not, like, day one. Like, Sonic Lost World, day one for me, for sure. Like, as well as everything else I've said so far, but just wanted to throw those out there. I think those are getting a little overlooked.
Yeah, I think the Batman Vita game definitely
Yeah.
Really cool looking. Just from the simple fact that it is, you know, a handheld title, it's going to be overlooked by a lot of people, which is a shame because that could be quite a bit of fun.
I could see it outscoring the console version in terms of reviews, possibly. Although people really love the console versions of those games too, so I don't know.
but the console versions.
Yeah,
this one is not by Rocksteady, so.
Yep.
Are you guys talking about GTA 5?
No.
Are you talking about
Batman?
Oh, Batman. Batman.
I was basically saying I want the Vita one, because that one looks awesome.
Yeah, that's gonna suck.
Ooh.
Tony just likes to rain on people's parades.
I do, especially yours, Jeff.
What else you got, Tony?
Watch Dogs. Nobody's mentioned Watch Dogs yet.
Fuck yeah, I'm excited for that. That was on my list too, so we'll just cross that one off mine.
Yep.
Yeah. There is a part of me that kind of thinks it's gonna end up like an updated Assassin's Creed for
modern times.
Yeah.
Say that.
Kind of what like we've. Not that we wanted that, but kind of what you've expected Assassin's Creed to evolve to.
Right. Which, I mean, I would be fine with that. I think their ideas have a little bit more potential than that, but it wouldn't surprise me to see the game end up in that direction. But still, I mean, everything they showed looks really good. The hacking stuff looks really interesting. There also seems to be a lot of, like, open world, almost GTA-esque elements to the game. So, I don't know. I'm excited. It looks really good.
Dude, number one reason is it's Chicago, dude. It's going to be a fun.
There aren't many games in Chicago. It's true.
Yeah.
I did pre-order that today for my Xbox One, so.
Now, when is it supposed to launch?
November
19th. For everything.
So it will be a launch title.
Yeah.
It will, yeah. It'll be on the 19th. Well, depending, like, it'll be the 19th. November 19th, you can get that on any console you want. So, I don't know. Say the console's launch on the 13th, you might have to wait, like, 6 days.
So this might change my buying pattern. I might then, if it's coming out in November, alongside the console, I might have to get that for Xbox One then.
Yeah, like if I was getting a next-gen console right away, that would be the only like physical game I would buy probably. Honestly, like, but instead I'm getting it on Wii U. It's gonna be amazing. You know it's gonna be amazing.
It's gonna be awful. It's gonna be terrible.
I'm scared.
You should at least get it on PS3.
That's the thing I'm scared about. Like maybe I should just do it on PS3. But like,
no, don't get it on Wii U. It's not gonna be good.
If it's same studio and the same quality as PS3, I'll take it on Wii U. You know what I mean? That's the thing I don't know yet. And like there hasn't been a lot of coverage of the Wii U version.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there hasn't been a lot of coverage about it.
I mean, we'll see as it gets closer. Like, it might just... Because, like, the Wii U can do, like, a PS3 game. You know what I mean? So it's like... I don't see why...
For me, Jeff, do the following. If you're going to get it for Wii U, don't pre-order it.
I can always just move it. I have it pre-ordered right now on Wii U.
Damn it! What are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, you could just flip it to the 360 or PS3 version, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I guess go back to what Jeff was building off of before with his platformers. I'm really looking forward to Rayman Legends.
Yeah, that'll be good.
About that game.
A lot of people think it was supposed to come out already.
Dude, that's a Black Friday buy right there if I ever saw one.
Yeah, that's one that like I really want to play it. I think it'll be a ton of fun, but I don't know
It'll
if I want to spend
bucks.
$60 on it at launch or 40 or whatever it is. Like, because yeah, on Black Friday, just like I got the first one,
yeah,
it'll be deeply discounted, and it's one of those ones that nobody is gonna buy even on the deep discount, because nobody knows what the fuck Rayman is.
But it's good, like it's really solid game. So like, yeah, I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. So, what's next, Jeff?
Why don't I just throw out the elephant in the room, Grand Theft Auto 5, dude.
Wait, that's coming out this fall?
No way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do I have to explain myself on this? It's Grand Theft Auto 5. It's going to be awesome.
I think you should justify the existence of the sequel to one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I don't know. Like, I just expect anything from Rockstar, I just expect it to be great. And especially Grand Theft Auto. Like, yeah, a lot of people didn't like 4. I liked it. So.
Are you implying, Tony, that this is a sequel to Vice City?
Sure. Definitely. I think it's the sequel to San Andreas, right? It's got to be.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I really would like a return to, like, the 80s, though. With, like, beautiful new graphics. Oh, it'd be so good.
I mean, it's going to happen at some point. I really want to see what Rockstar does with the new consoles. I hope they're working on something. I'm sure they haven't, like, tipped their hand in any way about it. But you know they're working on something.
New Red Dead game, maybe.
Oh, man. Think about, like, that open world multiplayer mode. Like, fully realized on a next-gen console.
That could be pretty cool.
Yeah. It wasn't necessarily the best part of Red Dead, but it was definitely a very, very important part to that game that made it as great as it was.
Yep.
And to see that, like, the fact that the world, once you started populating it with players, emptied out a bunch, like, to see that world still function at full capacity.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome.
I want that.
You're getting me excited over here.
That's why you should, you know, get an Xbox One. The cloud computing.
Whatever.
Think about it.
What's next on yours, Tony?
I mean, this is the obvious elephant in the room, but Europa Universalist 4.
Yeah, okay.
Sequel to one of the best strategy games of all time. I have to say that the Europa Universalis series is the one series I've ever played that made someone literally want to kill me.
Oh.
Nice.
Because I was playing it freshman. The first game came out my freshman year of college. So, of course, I was, you know, playing at my dorm room. And, of course, it has this nice, beautiful... The soundtrack varies by what century you're playing through, so you're like getting like 15th century music and like 16th century music and 17th century music, which is great if you know you enjoy the historical period and the music, but my roommate wanted to kill me, like literally wanted to strangle me. He was so happy when a patch came out 2 weeks after the game was released that let you turn off the music and still hear the other game sounds. He bought me 2 weeks after that. He bought me the collector's edition of Civ 3. He's like, "Tony, play this." No, seriously, Tony, you have to play this and not that other game. But yeah, I'm really excited for the new one. It's got some cool stuff in there that I won't, you know, make Jeff go to sleep to. But it's gonna be awesome.
I thought what the last one that. Out of mind that we really haven't talked about is the new Zelda handheld game.
That was one of mine, dude. Yeah.
I mean, a sequel to A Link to the Past.
Right.
It's gonna be fun.
It looks so good too. Yeah. Like when I looked at some trailers too, I'm like, oh my god! Like, you know, like the only thing that is even slightly gimmicky is you could like walk on walls and like the way you'll pop out with the 3D, like the way they make you like jump at the screen a lot, but like. Thank God, like, dude, after Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks, where it was all fucking touchscreen bullshit, this is just straight-up 2D Zelda. It looks and sounds like fucking Link to the Past. It's going to be amazing, dude. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got any more on yours, Chef?
Well, you tackled one of the two I left. Probably, though, what's left is probably my most anticipated game outside of, like, GTA and Watch Dogs, which is Pikmin 3. It's right around the corner. That's Nintendo's last great original fucking idea. And we have been waiting for this one since, God, it's been probably more than half a decade since Pikmin 2, so.
And you've been talking about it since we started the show, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I think it was announced that long ago, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm, like, I've not seen anything bad about it at all. Like, anything I see, I'm like, wow, this is going to be really good quality game. Like, this is going to be, probably, it should have been, like, the big launch game. Well, it doesn't have a wide enough audience, but this game is going to be, like...
I think it should have been there at launch, though, like, or very shortly thereafter.
Well, I'm sure they'll have been, like, polishing the hell out of it, so...
I'm interested in it. I mean, I played it for 5 minutes or so at PAX East, and, I mean, it was a bad situation. They just kind of threw you into it, and they made you play with the nunchuck and... Wii Remote. I'm hoping you play it with the gamepad.
Oh yeah, you play just regular gamepad, and you can play full on the gamepad, not use TV. Like, cool. Which is a cool option.
Like, I just hope it explains itself a little bit better. Cause I like the Pikmin game in Nintendo Land. I don't know how similar that is.
Right,
I've never actually played Pikmin,
yeah.
So.
Some of the basic mechanics are the same, but there's a lot more strategy and depth to an actual
Pikmin game. Right, which is fine. I mean, as long as, you know, like any good strategy game, it, you know, starts off easing you into things instead of just being like, here you go! Well, I mean, maybe some of Tony's strategy games just kind of throw you out and go, here you go!
Well, I mean, Nintendo is better at that stuff than probably almost anybody. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean... I don't usually go for strategy games, but the first Pikmin was just like, here's one Pikmin, you can control it, and you're like, okay, let's walk around, fucking throw it, like, you just slowly, like, it adds, like, then by the time you're like a couple of hours in, you're like, wow, there's a lot to this that I'm doing at once, you know?
Yeah.
Really cool, dude. Oh my god, can't wait.
Tony, you got any more on your list?
I got the sequel to my favorite game of all time is coming out this fall.
Oh no.
Total War Rome 2. Get excited. This isn't like some random game, too. A lot of people view the original Rome Total War as the best game of all time. So it's a big deal. This game has been waited on for a long time. And the original is starting to show its age. It's still fun to play, but like it looks really ugly now. Don was telling me the other day he downloaded it and he can't play it because it's just so ugly. So it was time for an update, and of course they've made a lot of changes to the series over the past few years. So.
Now earlier in the show you talked about playing Shogun 2.
Yes.
How did that work on your computer? Like, have they worked out the kinks? Because that's one of the problems Creative Assemblies always kind of have.
I haven't had a single issue with
okay.
it. But then again, I mean, I'm playing a game that's been out for two, three. Now it's
been
had
out
a bunch
for
of
a bit.
They've always had issues. I remember Rome Total War had a bunch of patches after it released. But I mean, really any strategy game, once you get those first few patches in there, they all work fine. But
cool.
I'm excited. Probably more for that than anything. If you gave me a choice between an Xbox One and Total War Rome 2, I'd have to think about that for a really long time. I don't know what I would choose.
Well, I mean, do you get a game with your Xbox One?
I mean, you gotta assume you get access to other games, but...
Alright, do you have anything else?
I mean, Civ's expansion comes out next week, but that's...
That's really soon.
Yeah. We'll ignore that.
Yeah. Alright. Do we have any news?
Oh, we have news. We have lots of news.
Really?
Tons and tons. No, not really.
I was like, oh no.
I wasn't prepared for this.
I guess the biggest piece of news was that Don Matrick of president of the Xbox division of Microsoft has now been named CEO of Zynga and has moved on from the company.
Thank God.
Thank God.
I mean, good luck to Singa. I mean, really. When I found out the news, I was like, I hope they have a muzzle over there. Cause... I think that could be good, maybe for both parties. I think Xbox, the Xbox division definitely needs a change of leadership, and
yeah,
especially after the nightmare that was the last 6 weeks for them. So,
I mean, it just showed that he didn't really have a cohesive vision of what his customers wanted.
Right.
And I think that hurt more than anything. And
he failed to connect with the target audience.
Actually, it's funny. He was the one most responsible for the development of Kinect and the prominent placing that it's received.
Well, then I hate him. I don't know. Whatever. Fuck him. You think they're kind of like forcing him out or what? Like,
they were restructuring anyway. And he was about to be demoted to like a division chief instead of president head of, I don't know, there was some way in which the restructuring was fixing it so he was no longer a president, he would be something less than that.
Which happens in corporations from time to time, so.
Right.
It's easy to look into this and go, oh, he fucked up, and they were gonna knock him down, so he decided to jump ship. But
right.
this does happen, especially with companies that are looking to grow. They reposition people and divisions and put other people in charge of them,
right.
Because the company has a different vision. So.
And honestly, I mean, if you're not the CEO of the company you're at and another company comes along and says, hey, do you want to be our CEO?
Right.
It would be tough to say no. It's not like this opportunity was thrust upon Zynga, like they were trying to ditch him as quickly as possible.
Zynga, this seems like such a strange place to go, though. I mean, I wish him the best of luck over there.
Right. I mean, Microsoft's got to be like a big sigh of relief from them that they can now change their message without having to come up with some sort of inorganic way of doing it. Like this just happens naturally for them.
Right, and because you know he was that the Xbox face. They can kind of just pin any of that. Well, that was the old regime. Like they could just, like as you said, they can kind of paint their own picture for it now. And it's like, even if it wasn't all his idea, they can kind of paint it as his leadership was pointing us that way. We've decided to go in a different direction. So this could actually work out really well for Microsoft. If they can kind of capitalize on it.
But then again, how much does the average consumer pay attention to this kind of thing?
Right.
You wonder. You wonder if it has any effect at all. I mean, in terms of console sales, I know I've been following Amazon every day, and the Xbox One has been at the top since they reversed their DRM policy every single day.
What's that?
On Amazon, so that you know how they put everything in the order of what's selling the best. In terms of console sales, the Xbox One has been at the top of the list every day since their DRM switch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all anecdotal evidence, so.
Right. At some point we'll get the actual numbers.
Still, I don't buy that completely, but okay.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense for them to be in that position.
Also, I mean, just remember that Amazon, for both sides, like PlayStation and Xbox, you don't have to put money down
right.
on those pre-orders.
You're literally not buying stuff. You're just kind of holding
okay.
it. Right. It's a placeholder. I mean, they have your credit card information. They have your address and all that, but you can cancel it all the way up to like the last day, and there's no money up front. So, I bet on both sides. I mean, currently I have a Xbox pre-order and a PS4 pre-order that I haven't canceled yet through Amazon, so.
Don't do it.
Don't do what? I mean, I have mine paid off. I'm gonna pick mine up at GameStop. They're paid off. So.
Nice.
I'm gonna walk in and they're gonna hand me machinery.
Really? I'm gonna walk into work and somebody's gonna hand me machinery, so I'm gonna go with that.
That's good as well.
I think Microsoft still has two very big problems. One is people don't know that they reversed their policy, and two, that it's still $100 more. And people do understand.
The people who don't know that they reversed their policy are the people who didn't know what the policy was in the first place.
Yeah, they're coming like, oh, it blocks used games. And like, that was never true in the first place. Like, it didn't really block used games, right?
Anybody who doesn't know that Microsoft, because this was the biggest story in gaming when they switched, anybody who doesn't know that that happened was not paying attention when they announced their policy to begin with.
Yeah, but they still buy consoles, and I mean, it's still out there. Like, you know, it's hard to reverse something that was so, like, you know, such a big deal, and then it's like,
but it was such a big deal that everyone was talking about it, and when they switched, everybody was talking about that too. It's just, it was one of those things that was so front of mind that you can't have possibly missed it.
Yeah. Well, there's people who did, but I still think that, and people do understand why the Xbox is $100 more, and they're like, yeah, like, I hear every day, like, I don't want the fucking Kinect, you know what I mean? But, like, fuck that thing.
Right.
I don't want to have to pay $100 more to play my system.
Yes, there's always going to be that added in, like, somebody's like, I don't pay it, whatever, I just want to play fucking games, I don't need spy cam looking at me, but there is the reality that, you know, Microsoft sold like 12 million fucking Kinects since they launched it.
It was not very, like, unless you really liked Dance Central, like, that was about it.
But
you know,
they still sold 12 million of those things, so they're people wanted it.
Yeah, but then they got to play it, and they're like, yeah, okay.
I don't know about that. Like, why would you continue to sell that? Like, why would they continue to buy it? Because there
are... No one buys anymore.
they've sold 12 million of them, Jeff, since they launched. 12 million for a $150 peripheral.
You know, how many in the last year, though? A million? 2 million? Maybe?
I mean, they bundle it with the lower-end Kinect, with the lower-end 360. Like, they're still selling a lot of those devices. And here's the thing. It works. Like, it does. And it's not perfect, but people that have kids... And it's perfect for that, because I could throw my 5-year-old in front of it and not have to worry about a Wii remote going through my television.
Oh, you're not giving them enough credit. Their Kinect sales have topped 24 million, and that was as of February.
24 million Kinects on 77 million total unit sales, like, for the 360. So a third, almost a third of their user base have bought a $150 add-on device.
And you gotta figure it, in the terms of the lifespan of the 360, how many of those 360s were sold before Kinect was actually an option?
Right. And it's not to say that there are people that aren't gonna find, like, I don't find value in certain things on the PlayStation. I don't find value in certain things on the 360 or on the Wii U. Like, but there are people out there that want this device. They may not be the people that walk into GameStop, but they're the people that walk into Walmart. They're the people that walk into Target. They're the people that, like, they're people like me that have kids that want to be able to let their kids do something.
Do they still play it a lot, though?
Yeah.
Really? I had a kid in the other day. I forgot what game they were getting. It was a Kinect-only game. Oh, Star Wars. Kinect Star Wars. And the dad goes... You know, he goes, do you need Kinect to play this? I'm like, yeah, it's a Kinect game. Like, you know, you need to use Kinect. And he turns to his kid, he goes, it's Kinect only. And the kid goes, I still like Kinect sometimes. That's what the kid said.
Yeah, but I mean that's like my son going, I still like to play the Wii U sometimes. Like, when you pose them with that question, like they're gonna give stupid answers.
But you know, it gave me a sense that like, you know, the kid was all about it for a minute, and then you know.
That's with everything, Jeff. That's
with everything.
That's
yeah, I know.
Kids in general.
That's fucking people too. Like,
right. That's exactly. That's like, oh, everybody went out and bought a fucking Wii to play Wii Sports, and then yeah. It was like, yeah. And then they didn't buy anything else for that fucking thing.
You know, it's funny, my fucking dad and Janet, or my dad's stuff, have started playing Wii Bowling again on, like, Saturday night, so I'm like, I'm like, you guys are living in 2006, you know this, right? Like,
that's alright. But that's the thing, like, you know, people will find a use for it, like, people bought the Wii just to play Wii. Like, it was basically a Wii Sports box for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And
for
some people, like, you know, I mean, are they going to buy an Xbox One with the Kinect? Maybe not. Maybe they're not the people that are buying it at launch. But Microsoft will market to those people, and it will get out there. Like, people will buy it.
I have a feeling I'm pretty safe in saying PS4 wins this fall. Pretty big too, by like I almost a 2-to-1 margin.
Yeah, but I just remember what you said last fall about the Wii U, and I'm just gonna say
yeah.
That you're wrong.
Well,
but that had less evidence backing it. It was just me.
Well,
like,
Jeff, but also, what are the allocations for them? like is Xbox going to be able? Like, is Microsoft going to put out that many consoles?
Right. You currently cannot pre-order one at GameStop, and you can currently pre-order unlimited amounts of PS4s.
Right.
So
yeah, but there aren't unlimited amounts of PS4s.
That's the thing.
So.
I wonder how many people are gonna be pissed off. Like when
they're gonna get some people are gonna get burned, dude, because there's something sketchy with that going on. Where like somebody's just like, I want the money, give it to me, but like I don't know if they can produce, you know?
Yeah. There's. I have a feeling you're right that the PlayStation is going to outsell the Xbox One this fall.
Well,
but I think that neither console is going to be in stores.
Oh yeah, they'll both be very hard to find for sure.
But that's the thing. Like that's going to mean Sony just was able to produce more at launch.
I don't, dude. I have a feeling like it comes out of it almost 2-to-1. Like it right now,
it's all allocation. It's like, what is Sony going to be able to produce? What is Microsoft going to be able to produce? And if both of them are sold out, it's not going to matter who wins that. Because if they're both sold out, the perception is they're both successful.
True. And, you know, that was like, I thought last fall, for sure, whatever the Wii U, however many they're able to put out, it would sell out at least, right?
And it didn't.
And it did not. Like, there are people who got burned, like, trying to do the eBay thing, like, to flip them.
Right.
And, like, no one was buying because you could just walk into any fucking store and buy one.
Right, like a week after launch,
yeah.
Like they were there. And, I mean, maybe you couldn't get the deluxe version. What was it? That was what it was called, right?
It was a little hard for, like, a week or two.
Yeah.
But by the time Christmas was rolling around,
they were all back in stock,
yeah.
And even then, there were stacks of the white ones everywhere.
Yes. Which, by the way, like I think I mentioned this before, they recalled all of them. Those things
You
don't find in stores anymore, the white one.
Even though Nintendo's like, oh, we didn't.
No. Yeah, didn't happen. But it did. They have to be repurposing them for something, like a bundle. Like, they'll put in a bigger hard drive and, like, you know, I don't know, something with it this fall. I have to think, right? What the fuck else are they doing with those things?
Speaking of motion gaming, the Kinect is bundled in the box with the Xbox One. Is Move? Can we officially say Move is dead?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like, I mean, they are not backing it, right? Like,
well, they spent some time fucking around with it during E3, but like, dude, that thing has been like not quite as bad a failure as the PSP Go, but it's up there among like their worst failures.
And like they're bringing it over to the PS4, but
they are.
But who's gonna fucking get it? Like,
honestly, dude, it's not bad tech. Like,
no,
I've
no, I know. Like,
it.
You said that it would work really well. It was more responsive than the Wii stuff, but like,
yeah,
like that's like, if you're gonna put that out there, one, that they put it out and it was such a convoluted way of getting it.
That, yeah.
Like, it was like 17 different packages or something like that, like, just to be able to play this thing. And now it's not even like, if you're obviously not supporting it if you're not going to throw it in the box.
Yeah.
Like, if you want people to use it, if you want developers to develop for it, it needs to be in the box.
Yeah, I think it dies off.
Oh, it's a shame, because I was kind of hoping that, like, you know, it would be something cool, but...
Well, dude, bocce ball on Sports Champions 1, that's worth it right there. Tommy, it's fucking fun as shit, dude.
We got anything else in news?
What's the balls like?
I mean, do we want to talk about that GTA 5 is two discs on 360?
Yeah, I thought that was confirmed so long ago. That's why, like, one of the reasons why I was getting it on PS3. Not that that's a huge deal.
I think the reason it's news is that it requires a mandatory install no matter which system you play it on.
Well, that's, like, especially for the two-disc version, that's fine, because then you don't have to flip the discs. Like, it's like Halo did that, you know?
Yeah, Halo 4 did that. The multiplayer was on the second disc. You had to install it all. And...
People bitch about, like, the tiniest things. It's like, so what, dude? You didn't get to play the game. Stop bitching. Back in the day, that was cool to me when I saw, like, a multi-disc game.
Right?
Oh, my God, it's multi-disc.
Like, Baldur's Gate 2 is, like, four discs.
You're just like, dude, this is, like...
Look at all this game I got, yeah.
Like, fucking high-tech. Well,
like,
you know.
Yeah, it was funny, like the PlayStation era, like, it's like Final Fantasy VII was three discs. And I believe 8 was 4. You're like, 8's so much better as an extra disc.
Yeah.
Like, that was how you judged, like how great it was gonna be, like, before it came out, was like how many discs it had, like.
Lost Odyssey, 4 discs.
Yeah.
That's Xbox. That's like an Xbox near, like, launch title. Nobody complained about it then. Now suddenly there's 2 and you're like, oh my God, this is too much work. I can't.
Right. Wait. Like, right. Once in a 35-plus-hour game, I have to get up and switch to disc. Oh, no. Except you don't even have to do that here. Like, and, oh, it requires a mandatory install. Get a fucking hard drive. If you don't have a hard drive yet, you're a fucking idiot. Sorry. It's not like the internet where, like, oh, some people might have access and we might have the money to do it. Get a fucking hard drive.
Okay, so what is the install? Like, how big is it?
Basically, you don't get to play it the first night if you buy it.
Or
GTA?
Yeah.
It's an 8 gig install.
Oh, that's
wow.
It.
So like, anybody with like a 4 gig Xbox, like, is fucked.
Yes.
Good. Good for them.
just like, I want to discriminate against assholes.
No, because, dude,
like,
every time.
Take your fucking...
Every time I tell them, like, dude, no, you want the hard drive. No, I don't need that. Just be playing a couple games. You want the hard drive. Fucking Halo 4, you need to, like, install, like, all this shit. Like, you know, like, people do not listen to you. You're
like that's
you
half
want the
of,
hard drive. Yeah.
That's half of that 4 gig drive if you get Halo 4.
It's like they're giving this option because you're a cheap ass, but you don't want it, trust me, even if you're cheap ass. Like, and no one ever fucking listens. And then they get to come back later and pay more for the hard drive than they would have. You know? Because you have to buy it separate for $130 fucking dollars. Stupid fucking people. Never listen with that shit. God.
I don't have any problem with switching discs.
You're getting on Xbox? I think it...
I'm not sure, like... I don't know.
I think it's fucking sweet on PS3, but I don't know.
Like, I originally had... When I was going to get 4, I was originally going to get it on PS3. Just because, like, my history with GTA is on PlayStation. But when it came out, like, there was some sort of technical issues with the PS3 version. It was darker, it was harder to see. So I ended up switching to the 360 version, and that was fine. So I don't know.
It's, from what, like, the impression I get is a lot of, like, the end generation titles are being optimized on PS3. Like I know the developers of Watch Dogs said, like, at least from one current gen, it'll be best on PS3. So maybe I should switch that over, but I don't know, I just prefer my PS3 more. Like, if you look on my Xbox, I probably haven't played anything on it in, like, 3 months. So, which is weird. It's so weird how, like, I switched like that. But it just, it mostly has to do with being able to find used games without scratches on them now. Like,
yeah, Blu-ray discs don't scratch, so.
Yeah, like, you know, I could go buy, like, a launch game, and it's still going to be fine, you know. You try finding, like, an unscratched copy of fucking, I don't know, Madden 07 or something on fucking Xbox. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, why would you be looking for a copy of Madden 07?
Anything that's like, or like, let's say try to find an unscratched copy of Gears of War 1, dude. Not gonna happen.
I have one.
Well, yeah, you do. But, like, you know, you go through the used market, like, the thing has probably been recycled at least 12 times or something through it, you know, and people do not take care of their shit like we do. I mean, I'm anal about how I take care of it.
When I trade stuff in to GameStop, like, the guys love me. They're like,
yeah.
I traded something in over the weekend. The guy was like, I don't even need to check these. I'm like, a couple of them were bought used, so, like, I don't know. I can't vouch for the quality of those ones.
I bought them from you, so you should.
Right.
You know.
So if this is scratch, it's your fault.
You fucking bought the shit in the first place. But yeah, like, dude, like, anytime, like, I get somebody like that, I'm like, you're one of us. Like, you take care of your shit. Like, how hard is that to do? You don't fucking throw the disc around and shit, man. You put it back in the case.
I'm moving more and more digital, though.
I like Blu-ray format. Or, like, something like it. Like, the Wii U's kind of, it feels like Blu-ray. It feels like it won't scratch.
Well, I mean, I don't have anything wrong with discs. It's just, I don't need the disc. Just let me start my game right from there. Like, I don't even have to get up. Like, I can bounce from Gears 1 to Gears 2 to Gears 3 without even moving.
Oh, well, it's going to happen one day, I think. But in the meantime, I like my boxes.
Yeah.
I'm resistant to change.
It's all right, Jeff. Change will still be here when you get around to it.
One day.
We got any other news?
I guess the last thing is that NPD, in response to a number of publishers / websites dumping them because they don't track digital sales, has announced that they're forming a 9-publisher panel to gather and report digital storefront data.
All right.
So, it's possible that the NPD will survive into the next generation, because right now they're kind of on shaky ground.
Well, I mean, it needs that, right? Like, we just talked about it, like, I'm moving more and more digital. As stuff moves more and more digital, like, how does your report about retail sales matter when, you know, everything is moving that way, when, you know, half of your sales at some point are going to be digital only?
I think it was the website Gama Sutra said that when they dumped NPD, they did it because NPD's data was showing falling sales, but from what they were getting from publishers, it wasn't the case that the sales were falling. It was just the case that the physical sales were falling in favor of digital.
Right.
So you just, I mean, when you're publishing information, it's basically a lie. I mean, you gotta, you have to update that info.
Yeah, it's it's happened in every other medium, right? Like, music, movies, like, stuff is moving digital, and if you are going to be relevant in tracking any of those sales, you need to have a handle on the digital sales as well. It's, how do you track that info, though?
Right. I mean, you have to get the publishers to volunteer it to you.
Yeah, so there's always going to be ones that just, they're not going to join, right?
Right.
I mean, whatever. Maybe it's time for that to end.
Right. Yeah. What?
That's what I thought.
I wasn't here.
We know.
It happens.
All right, so we did get some most anticipated games of the fall from some of our listeners, though.
Yeah.
Chris at RetroCore, anticipating DuckTales Remastered, a game we did not even mention.
Yeah,
I should have.
When is that coming?
August 1st.
Awesome. I'm on vacation then.
Actually, no.
Wait till I get home.
It's gonna be awesome.
Earl says Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
See, I have kind of sketch on that. Like,
I don't even know what that is. What is that?
That's their new Mario and Luigi, which is like kind of like Paper Mario fucking game for 3DS.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Kind of like a Mario RPG type deal.
I mean, based off of last Super Paper Mario, or not, what was it called? Paper Mario,
Sticker Star.
That was a huge disappointment to me. I mean, I played through it and I had kind of fun with it, but I was like, this is ultra gimmicky, and why didn't you make this good? this seems like I might go down that route, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'm not putting it down, I'm sorry. I take it back.
Okay.
Gigawatt Conduit, he's anticipating three games: Saints Row, Watch Dogs, and Battlefield. Justin, I could have picked your list for you.
So he's anticipating the original Saints Row, the original Battlefield, and one new game. Awesome.
Sweet. It's Watch Dogs. That's looking pretty good.
Is that it?
That's we got questions.
All right, what do we got?
Let's see. Tony Barreo asks, why do people say the PS3 is in second place when it's outsold the 360 worldwide while being available a year less?
I don't think that's correct, right?
Depending upon what charts you look at, the PS3 is slightly ahead of 360 and worldwide sales. It bounces back and forth.
Right.
But
regardless, we live here in North America where...
Right, where the PS3 is... Well, I mean, technically, if you want to include the Wii in the discussion, Xbox is in second place, PS3 is in third, but... I also think you have to look at it from... the fact that Xbox did it without an entire region. Like they
don't have Japan.
They
basically
do not have Japan, and that's one of Sony's strongholds.
But they did try to go to Japan. They did, big time.
But they tried. They just failed. Yeah. Like, it's like, if you're not Japanese there, they don't want your shit.
Like, they got all these JRPGs for it, too, like Lost Odyssey, Blue Dragon, this and that. Like, they made a real push.
Yep.
And so, yeah. I guess.
Not all of those games were great, but Lost Odyssey was.
Right.
Yeah.
So Dragon was passable. There were a few that weren't so good.
So, I mean, just to kind of give an overview, on aggregate site VG Charts, which they're not the best. Like, they're not accurate numbers all the way across, but their PS3 numbers for Japan, the week ending 22nd of June, were almost 10,000. Xbox 360 was 233. So you're talking almost a 10,000 sale difference. Like, I think, like, worldwide, that would be why people consider Xbox in second place.
Well, I think the other thing you have to look at, there are two other things you have to look at. Number one is that worldwide sales over the past several years, like, companies, when they're looking at their financials, don't look at a console generation. That doesn't really
look year over year. Yeah.
They look year over year, and Microsoft has been in the lead for the past several years. And number two, to piggyback off of that, you also have to look at the financial health of the company and where their financials are ending up. And Microsoft, again, head over heels in first place.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is kind of debatable, but I think if Microsoft were smart, they would have got Monster Hunter, because that shit's huge over there.
Want people to buy your system, yeah.
Get, like, dude, like, I know, like, I think a 3DS sales went crazy with Monster Hunter.
Yep.
And, you know, for good reason.
The problem is that they don't really understand what makes something sell in the Japanese market.
Well, like JRPG.
It's called Japanese, right? Therefore, they want it.
And on some levels, you have to be like, yeah, they tried, man. Like, they went out, they got Miss Walker, which is headed up by the big guys that were behind the Final Fantasy series. They did Lost Odyssey, which was directed by the Final Fantasy creator. They did Blue Dragon, which was handled by the Dragon Quest creator, with some artwork by, you know, whoever does that Avatar, or not Avatar, what the hell was it? It's one of those, like, anime fucking games, movies or whatever over there. Like, they had some crazy artists do that shit. Like, they went out and tried to, like, hit that market with what they want, or what
Eternal
they thought
Sonata.
They
want. Right. Eternal Sonata was a Namco game, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
But that was exclusive.
It was exclusive at first. It did eventually come to PS3.
Get out! Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You're fucking kidding. I've never seen that game on PS3.
It is a PS3. It came out about a year later.
In the U.S.?
Yeah, in the U.S.
Maybe I'm just stupid. That's probably it.
I'm not saying that.
You're not stupid, Jeff. You're just intellectually impaired.
Okay. I accept this. But the thing I wonder if JRPGs are as big in Japan as we assume. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's just...
I wonder if they're bigger here.
Yeah, like, for people that like Japanese shit. They're like, yeah, yeah. You know, JRPGs. Like,
right.
They might be the case, you know?
Yep. So, also, Eternal Sonata... very good JRPG, so.
Yeah, can't get into that garbage.
You don't like JRPGs, though, so.
I've tried here and there. The closest I've come to really, really liking one is Tales of Symphonia, because, like, I don't know, I played, like, 40 hours of that game.
Tales of Vesperia. The game is also good.
It's expensive, though, dude. Like, those games never go down, because they're such small prints to begin with, so they just never go down.
Let's see. Oh, Tony also asks, what do you know about debt consolidation?
Not much.
I consolidated my school loans. It's a lot cheaper to pay them off now, but it takes longer.
I know about debt increaseation. I can tell you all about that.
Getting further into debt.
Yeah, I can tell you all about that, Tony. Which is probably,
Yeah, he probably doesn't know that. He wants to go the other way. He wants debt decreasation. IonWatt asks, have you played any text-based choose-your-own-adventure games? Are there any worth checking out online? What's the one you were playing, Chris? I know you.
A text-based one?
Oh, text-based.
Yeah, I wasn't paying text-based, but there was one, and if I could find the link, that came out around when Bioshock came out, which was kind of like just a choose-your-own-adventure webpage that made fun of.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Doesn't count. Like there's people that remember that genre from the 80s that
yeah.
Really love it.
Yeah, like Zork, and I used to play some on my Commodore 64. I don't remember what any of them were called, though. And they were a bitch, because, like, you had to be very specific with what you wrote.
Yeah, like the programming at the time, was like, you're working with, like, who knows how much, like, kilobytes of information.
Yeah.
I do know this fun fact: if you go on PlayStation Home, somewhere buried in there is a text adventure game.
Ooh.
But I
but you'd have to go on to Clayton's home, and that's just going.
Yeah, and go and find it. It's like, dear God, fuck that.
I don't even want that on my on my PS3.
It's so weird, dude. Like, I've stopped on there once, and I was like, yeah, never mind.
Every once in a while, I go and I'm trying to go to the PlayStation store, and I accidentally hit home, and it wants to download an update. I'm like, no.
Please, no.
I just want you to go away.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like, there might be, like, a small, like, genre of that, like, where, like, it exists for people that really dig them still, but I never played one in my life. Unless the Choose Your Own Adventure book counts.
Sure.
I used to love those when I was a kid.
Yeah, can't help you.
All right, that was all the questions I had. Jeff, were you able to procure any?
Not really. I have one from Tony, which I don't know if you meant it for the show or not, but I'll just throw it out there. Should I create a new PSN ID / gamer tag on the new consoles just to reset my trophy level / gamer score? I don't know why you'd want to do that.
I think you have to for the Sony console, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think your trophies transfer over.
I don't actually care either way, but like, I don't know. Does that answer his question right there?
That you don't care? Yeah.
Like,
I'm pretty sure it answers it.
I wouldn't reset my account, but that's just me.
Yeah. If I had the option, I would just be like, just leave it, you know.
It's a lot of games I played.
Yeah.
I want that one achievement I earned in Prototype to last forever.
I have a couple games like that where it's just like you get one and it's like,
this game is awful. I'm never playing this again. This is that one achievement to stand testament to your frustration.
So, speaking of trophies, achievements or whatever, Jeff, with The Last of Us, did you get any trophies or achievements to pop, or any trophies to pop, like, while you were playing the game?
Just a couple. Not very many at all. Like, I guess they're probably hard to get. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I looked at the list, and they are. Like, they take a lot of work. But I just didn't know if they were not popping in the game, or if
you're not getting
or if maybe, like, you would, like, they would just wait till you finished, and then, like, they would just pop.
I do know that the latest update for PlayStation 4, like, that's what the update was, is, like, you could choose whether it would show that or not.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, I noticed them very, very rarely throughout the game, and it usually would happen, like, after I did a part, and then be, like, in the cutscene, but that's kind of standard anyways, I guess. I don't know, like...
Yeah, I just didn't know if they were trying to, you know, heighten the, you know, the emotional impact by not having it clutter the screen. But,
yeah.
But I'm sitting there today, and there was one part where Ellie comes up, and she actually had the HUD over her face. So like, her face looked like my health meter. And,
yeah.
And a gun with ammo in it.
I had one product that at the very end of the game, like it was transitioning from a cutscene to like us playing, you know, and it's like a very smooth transition, but like the health meter popped up before it should have, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty funny. Like I'm sitting there like, that's a nice tattoo. well, I guess that's it. Wasn't quite as short as I thought it was going to
be.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. I don't know what we're playing again. Who knows?
Civ 5.
Civ 5, evidently.
Plus, I had to buy Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition because it was $5 today.
Oh, you were able to get a copy of it?
Yeah, well, you can't get it on the Apple Store, and you can't get it directly from Beamdog, but apparently since Atari is responsible for the distribution on Steam, you can still get it on Steam, and they had a sale today.
Nice. How weird.
Yes, isn't that odd?
I'm going to play Walking Dead for sure.
All right, yeah, I'm gonna try and play that too.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's only about an hour long, and it has 5 short stories in it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get a chance to play it before I leave for Virginia, but... I will.
Wait, you're coming to Virginia?
I am. Well, I'm going to Virginia Beach, actually.
No, that doesn't count.
And then we're going to go to Williamsburg on Friday. That's like an hour away.
I love Williamsburg.
We're going to Busch Gardens, so not actually going to see any historical shit. So.
Oh. You got all like the forts from York, the Yorktown.
Oh yeah, I've been to Williamsburg, but it's a cool town, and I actually like a lot of the historical stuff that's there. It's just that's not what we're doing. I'm going to Virginia with a bunch of drunks.
Sounds like fun.
And they want to go to an amusement park on Friday, so
where you can drink.
Yeah.
I would assume you could still drink there. At least that's how it was when I went. They used to give free beer at Busch Gardens in Tampa, I think it was. Like, there was a whole... Yeah, there was a whole area. Like, it was like this fucking massive bar thing where it was just like, here's free drinks. Try our Budweiser.
Oh, I don't want to try Budweiser. But, I mean, if they're going to give it to me free, maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe this changes things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, free versus, like, an $8 beer...
Probably I don't know if there was a limit. Like, I don't know what the rules were, but my parents were like, yeah, we're going over here, and you guys go on the roller coasters. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, actually, my wife is currently in Washington right now, so she's down there for a conference.
Washington is nice.
Yeah.
People live here. Nice people.
Don't believe that either.
People who give other people joy. Like
it's funny, my wife has gone to both of your cities this year. Because she was out in Chicago right before PAX for a conference, and now she's in Washington.
Oh, man, I could have told her good places to get food.
Yeah, I know the places. I don't even know where she is.
I don't know where she is either.
She's lost.
She's with her boss and the leadership team at her school, so... Yay her. Anyway, let's end this thing, because I'm pretty sure nobody gives a shit about that. Say goodbye, Jeff.
I'm going to eat queso fundido.